From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, authors of the new book, Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Well, let's now rejoin Hank and Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe in their conversation.
Renewing yourself, part of that process is sharing your light. I mean, that is a big part of renewing yourself, self-renewal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And sadly, so many people of faith oftentimes are unaware of really what their purpose is on earth. There was a study that was done that found almost 65% of Christians were unaware of or really did not know what their purpose was on this earth. And, you know, if we're not careful, especially for those who live in this country, you know, where we have things that are so available to us, and there's oftentimes a tendency to believe that what we have is we created it on our own. And we tend to be much more insular. We tend to keep things within ourselves and just simply help people who look like us, who have the same political values that we do, even only help those who have the same faith that we do. But one of the most commonly used phrases in the Bible, as you know, Hank, is this theme of generosity, of being generous, of going out of our way to help carry the burdens of the world. And so we don't ask, you know, what we share in the book is that, you know, we're not asking you to change the world, but just change your world. And if every single person changes their own little world, then we will be able to change the world. And that God has a purpose for us, that he leans on us and he yearns and he's depending on us. I hate to use this analogy, but sometimes I share with our community that God doesn't have a plan B. We are the plan. We are the plan A that he's looking for,
right,
you know, to make a difference in this world. And so that's the lens that all of us should be looking through as a people, is that we are called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We too are called to be children of light, and the expectations are for us to do just that.
It's what we're all trying to get back to, and I think that's why we purposely designed that to be the last chapter in the book, because, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, who want to be lights in the world. I think most people desire to do that. If you were to ask them, yes, I want to help, I want to, you know, but if I'm weighed down with busyness, I mean, we know that hurry is the enemy of help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about so many psychological studies that have talked about why we don't help, why we do not stop to help the beggar, to help the person on the side of the road, why we judge. And so that's where psychology is sort of, I feel like, so beneficial to getting back to being a light. If you're so burdened with stress, I also know people who are suffering in relationships or in trials, they don't know that they can be a help to others because they're suffering themselves. And
right.
So until we sort of learn the tools around these, you know, being busy or suffering, we don't have the, I would say, internal capacity to help others who are placed right before us and as we walk through life.
One of the things I love about your book is the emphasis, which is a biblical emphasis, on constantly seeking renewal. So you're making the point that renewal is not something that you do in a punctiliar fashion at a point in time, but it's a process. You're constantly seeking renewal, very much like what is emphasized in Orthodoxy, that you're constantly repenting. Repentance is not something you do once and that's over with. You don't have to think about it again, but we're constantly living a life of repentance and renewal.
Exactly. And I think that's so much made manifest even during the season of Great Lent, as we were talking about earlier. But that's why the title of the book is Renewing You.
Right.
In other words, there's a continual, as you've been mentioning, Hank, this continual process, because we all fall short of God's glory. We all fall prey to what the world is, and at times we fall to the temptations that we have been struggling with. But as Roxanne has been mentioning, is, you know, just even as the listeners are listening today, I mean, you know, when was the last time you just simply thought about what you've been thinking about? You know, and how often we don't take time to truly just be self-aware of what we are doing, because if we know that our thoughts oftentimes become our actions, or our beliefs become our behaviors, then why not, if we know that, and how Christ, through the pen of St. Paul oftentimes too, where he says, constantly guard your mind, and then in Romans 12 too, it says, you know, that constantly renew your mind. There's an emphasis on this mind, on the power of our thinking and the power of those thoughts in shaping our life. And so if we don't ever take inventory of that, we never really realize not only that we need to go through a process of renewing, but we really never know or really what we're truly struggling with. And so that's why this book is not meant to be an easy read. We hope it is a deep end of the pool kind of a book where you read it and then you kind of put it down. You think about it, you process, and then you go back at it, much like how our walk of faith is.
I will tell you, you're both good writers, because it's, you know, I do think it's correct to say deep end of the pool in terms of characterization, but it's also a book, you know, that reads very, very well. It's taking the cookies and putting them down on the bottom shelf where people can access them. One of the things that really intrigued me about the book, there are various phrases, various thoughts throughout the book that captivated my imagination. But at one point, you write that we tell ourselves with resignation, there's nothing more to experience, nothing more to feel, nothing more to become. And when I read that, I thought, you know what? I have committed my life to following truth wherever it leads. And in doing that, there are constantly new vistas that are opening up to me. Mm-hmm. For example, there was a time I would have never said life matters more. I had no framework for that whatsoever. I was focused on truth. I was committed to logical truth propositions. That was my life. But truth led me somewhere because I was willing to follow, and that somewhere opened up a vista of life that I could never before have imagined.
You know, that whole notion of just allowing ourselves to be open to different chapters that God has written for our lives is something that is so passionate for me, because, you know, I, Hank, grew up in the Orthodox Church, but I came to know the Orthodox Church not from within the church, but by a friend of mine who was totally a part of a Baptist church here in Jacksonville, who invited me to a youth event. And when I was at this youth event, the youth pastor was going around asking questions about where all the different young people were at and what churches they may be going to. And he said to me, Nick, what church are you from? And I said, I'm from the Orthodox Church. And, you know, just said, have you ever heard of the Orthodox Church? You know, we claim that we're the right church, the true church. And he responded, and he said, Nick, I've studied about the Orthodox Church. I've read about the Orthodox Church. He says, but the problem is I haven't seen the Orthodox Church. I was 17 years old then, and I was one of these young men that went to church every Sunday. There was not a question of whether or not you wanted to go to church or not. I just was always there. But that simple question about that youth pastor turned my life upside down, because it made me wonder, what church am I part of? And more importantly, here I thought that I was going to church, I was checking off all the boxes, but yet did not have a personal connection with Christ, and for that matter, the church, in a way that I thought was helping me grow. I knew it cognitively, I just didn't know it in my heart. And it set the course in that moment, in that one interaction with that youth pastor, that set the things in motion for me to eventually go to the seminary and by God's grace, become a priest. And my point being is that in the book, we share a story about Columbus and how back in Spain, during the times of Columbus, there was this phrase that was actually put on coins that would say ne plus ultra, which means nothing is more beyond. This is it, that after Spain, nothing else exists. And for hundreds of years, people believed that there's nothing existed west of Spain. And then Columbus goes, as we all know, and the rest is history after that. He discovers the newfound land. But the point I'm making to you is, how many generations of people passed away never realizing that there was something more, not only on earth, but more for them in their own life? And I think many of us look at growing in our faith as a season. We kind of go through Sunday school, that's chapter one. But afterwards, we may only lean on the Bible whenever we're going through a difficult moment, when we're having a 9/11 moment in our life, our marriages are not where they need to be. We may only pray when someone has just been diagnosed with cancer or something is going very difficult. We may not have that connection. And what we're trying to say is there's so much more in store. And we use this phrase a lot, that where we are today is not where God wants us to stay. Like, he's constantly yearning us to not settle, but to soar, to continue to grow in our walk of faith. And I know that's been for me in my own life. I wouldn't be on this show right now if I still was the same 17-year-old boy that never had that interaction with that youth pastor.
Yeah, I love that Columbus illustration for a lot of reasons. We think, well, now we've discovered the new world, but It's a lot more than that for a Christian, because as a Christian, it is, as C.S. Lewis put it, it is like finding the wardrobe and then walking through the wardrobe and finding Narnia. I think too many of us are wretched flatlanders. We think that there's nothing more than this world, but there's so much more. And when you look at the universe itself, it's inexhaustible, just as God is inexhaustible. And we have that to explore for all eternity. I mean, that's part of the brilliance of the Christian life. We're looking forward to something that's intoxicating, and it's right around the corner for all of us.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Stay right here. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe. If you found 2020 challenging, you're not alone. Millions believe 2020 was the hardest year of their lives. Sadly, this led many to surrender to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, a priest, a psychologist, and a plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist, Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. Do you want to renew your vision today and change the rest of your life? To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or you can visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Dr. Nicholas Lowe is a priest and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, a clinical psychologist. In their book and in their ministry, the Lowes are a marriage of two different worlds and fields of study, uniting the fields of faith and psychology for inward reflection that leads to lasting outward transformation. For the last 10 years, Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne have worked together to help people seek the changes they want most for their lives. And they wrote Renewing You to do exactly that, renew you. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or you can visit us at equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe as they continue their conversation.
One of the great things that you emphasize and that St. Paul emphasizes is that as Christians, we are called to put on the full armor of God. I've often called that the covering, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and our feet fitted with the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and praying at all times in the Spirit. How significant is it to clothe ourselves as the Apostle Paul did to truly experience renewal?
I mean, absolutely incredibly important. The spiritual warfare that we face, I mean, you're really in trouble if you don't realize you're in a battle on this earth. If we do not clothe ourselves with wisdom, with His wisdom, we don't know how to walk through the chapters of life and the seasons we face. We don't know. We give up hope, right? We forget that there's something more beyond where we are today because this is it, you know, and this is when people give up. This is when people give up, when they face where the enemy seeks to come and steal, kill, and destroy our lives. When we don't believe that there's something more beyond and we do not clothe ourselves with every armor that we've been given biblically, this is when people give up in their chapters. They stop leaning on Christ. In fact, they turn away from Him.
Right.
And they turn away from the things that we've been given to empower us. And so if you don't know wisdom, how do you know where you've gone off track when you're studying your thoughts? If you don't know the Bible, how do you know when you've gone off track? You just don't. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to lean on Christ, you know, in the good times, He's not the person you turn to in the bad times. Mm-hmm. He's the person you stop trusting and you turn against. So incredibly important. Nick, and I know you probably have a lot more to share on that as well.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Roxanne. And I think, you know, as Hank, you share with your listeners all the time, I mean, it's like going into a battle without any of your weapons. I mean, and expecting to live a life of victory or to be victorious. I think the concern that we oftentimes share with our church and when we do, you know, retreats or presentations, as we say, is that, you know, that you will never fight something that you do not believe exists. And so for many people, there is this belief that the devil does not exist or that we're not in a spiritual battle. And I would caution the listeners, you know, to remember that you will never fight something that you do not think exists. And because of that, you have to be prepared. Not, as Roxanne was beautifully stating, because we live in this world that is fallen, that at some point in our life, either I or people I know are going to go through a very difficult time. And the Bible says that we should always be prepared to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So that not only that we're able to give them words of encouragement, but also on our end, that when we go through those difficult times, or when we need to know what is our purpose on this earth, what is God's yearning for us on this planet, that we are fortified and strengthened. Because He is, as we know, the devil is this roaring lion, always searching out for his prey. And I wish that was not the case, but that's the reality of the world. And I think when we allow ourselves to become so self-independent, in other words, we're just totally independent of anyone else, we find ourselves back into that paradise with Adam and Eve, allowing ourselves to become so dependent upon ourselves And that's where trouble happens.
Yeah. You know, as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think of C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters.
Absolutely.
And Uncle Screwtape is displeased with Wormwood because his patient has become a Christian. Mm-hmm. But Screwtape says there's no need to despair because hundreds of adult converts have been reclaimed after a brief sojourn with the enemy, and they're now with us. All the habits of the patient, their mental habits, their bodily function, they're all in our favor. And so Screwtape knew that converts who failed to embrace the spiritual gymnasium would likewise fail to become Christ-like. So unless and until a convert embraces the spiritual disciplines, there's no need for the forces of darkness to be alarmed. And one of the greatest deceptions in the practice of the Christian faith is the idea that all that really matters is our internal feelings, our ideas, our beliefs, our intentions. And it's that mistake about the psychology of the human being that more than anything, I think, divorces salvation from life. It leaves us, and I wrote about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, it leaves us with a head full of vital truths about God, but a body unable to fend off sin. And I love what you just said about that, that if you don't really believe that there's an invisible enemy, then you're not going to be prepared for spiritual warfare.
Exactly. And we see that it's very prevalent in the Orthodox tradition, as you know, Hank. And it's one of the things that we, you know, even we're in the season of Great Lent, and traditionally on Monday nights during Lent, there is a service called the Compline, or it's an after-dinner service. And there's a point when they say this hymn that I think is so poignant and so true to what we're talking about today, is it says, my soul, wake up. Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful because I think for many of us, we don't even realize that we are sleeping. And the scriptures are filled with this. St. Paul talks about it in the 1 Corinthians. Also, James, to some extent, mentions about this. But this notion that we are just sleeping, I think that's why there's this almost this emphatic belief and sharing that Paul does, where he says, constantly, constantly strive, constantly renew, constantly grow, because if not, we can settle. And it's like a, you know.
And that's when he comes in. Remember, Christ told him to keep his disciples awake, and what happened? They fell asleep. And I mean, this is what happens. It's our flesh. I mean, it's such a, it's so easy to do. I mean, I think that's the, it's so easy to.
I mean,
so
Christianity is an offensively minded faith, you know, and I mean it in a very respectful way, but it's either you're either growing or you're dying. There's nothing in neutral. I mean, so, and for that to be successful, we need to be growing.
Yeah, in that vein, talk about the importance of vision. If you have no vision, in essence, you perish.
So one of the things that we share about in the book, and obviously you're sharing from the book of Proverbs, where we hear this, you know, and in one translation it says that if there is no vision, the people are scattered. We all have a vision that we follow. I oftentimes tell people that the person that we speak to the most in our life is not our spouse, it's not a friend, and it's not our priest. It is ourselves. We're in a constant communication with them, what we would call in psychology almost a personal narrative that we follow. That narrative, most of the time, is negative. And if that narrative oftentimes sets a vision for us, and as you said earlier, Roxanne, if you do not have the faith or bringing in the Christian tradition to kind of provide that vision, left on our own, we will be scattered because we have a history of when left on our own, what we end up doing. We end up depending more on ourselves, less on God, and we end up being like the little floaty out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, where if this wave is here, we go this direction. If this wave is there, we go that direction. And so for us, in our, what we share is that is allowing God to create a vision through the Bible, through the church, through the traditions, and letting that be your lighthouse at which you follow. What is God's vision for my life? Because if not, I can allow that personal narrative to create a vision for me. And as we mentioned earlier, and this is so important to remember, is that our life will always follow our thoughts. So we have to be careful about which vision are we truly following.
One of the statements in the book is that to fulfill your vision, you need prayer, you need fasting, you need liturgy, and you need to frequently partake of the sacraments. And you have to practice good works. Good works, in some sense, has fallen on hard times in the Christian world. And yet, the Apostle James made very clear to us that if we don't have good works, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. So works are very important for us to participate in. As our Lord said, you know, if you do something for the least of these, you've done it for me. So I want you to talk about fulfilling our vision, the importance of even sacraments like the sacrament of confession. This is, again, something that's fallen on hard times and yet is so important. Can you put that, Father Nick, into perspective for us, why the sacrament of confession is so important?
Well, one of the most beautiful things I think that we have within the Orthodox tradition is confession, is this sacrament, as you've been mentioning. And for many people who are not part of a tradition, a Christian tradition that provides confession, I would just remind you, speaking of the book of James, where James speaks about confessing our sins to one another. So it's not foreign.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, authors of the new book, Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.